This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It was a bullpen day. Guardians won. Jose Ramirez hit one that nearly went out. It hit the wall. He ended up with a triple standing up. It was almost he got tagged out, but he ended up making it to third earlier. And then he hits that home run and busts the game wide open.
Slobbered it.
It was a nice win. Obviously, anytime you win, it's nice. There was a bigger story, though, that ended up happening in this game. Now, I don't know. It's weird here because it was at that time a perfect game, but it was a combined perfect game. Do we have the play-by-play of this at all? Or any? I'm sorry, Owen. What did you say?
We just played it in the open.
Well, I kind of want to get it again here because I want to go through this. Is when you lay down a bunt to break up a perfect game, people are going to get upset. But can I get that upset when at the time Tim Herron is now pitching for the Cleveland Guardians, where he was the 5th pitcher pitching for the Guardians at that time? When it's a combined perfect game no-hitter, is that something I should take umbrage with? Should I get really mad?
You can always. That's one of the unwritten rules in baseball, right? That you're not supposed to do it, even though I've seen it done plenty of times.
It's a 2-0 game, and he ended up scoring. TJ Friedel scored. So let's listen to the call again if we can. Go right on ahead, Owen.
Little bunt attempt. Herron grabs it, fires it, not in time, and that'll be the first hit of the night. And listen to the boos.
He's upset. Matt Underwood's upset, and the fans are upset, and it does seem cheap.
Bally Sports is upset.
Bally Sports, yes. I mentioned Bally Sports now. Now they're not upset with me. They're booing him, and it's a cheap way to get on base. But it wasn't like Tanner Bibee was into the 7th inning and had a perfect game going, and now people were not talking to him in the dugout in between innings. Like it wasn't like that. It was a combined perfect game. So can I be that mad about it?
Well, remember, we're the team that is chasing the rare I'm saying the no-hitter or a perfect game,
which we haven't had since 81.
Right. We're the one team. Every other team has had it, right? Every other team has had them except us. We're the last one. So we'll do anything we can. We'll scratch. We'll claw. We'll do a combined no-hitter. We'll have the most pitchers ever to combine for a no-hitter. It wouldn't matter. I mean, we're chasing something
It would be a novelty, though. I don't think it would be like the Len Barker moment is an incredible moment because perfect games are perfect games. But I'm pointing out that it would be a novelty. Like the people who were in attendance. Well, how many people were at the game last night? I'm asking in general here. 25,860 was the attendance announced last night. So the 25,860, it would be a novelty that I was there for a combined no-hitter, perfect game. Like that would be the novelty of it. But it's like, well, there was like 7 pitchers out there at that time.
Yeah.
Which makes it.
Yeah, it's nowhere
some people
near,
might say even more impressive that 7 pitchers could go out there and actually get a perfect game. But either way,
it's nowhere near as special.
No, it's as, not. As it's not
like,
special.
Yeah, it's not let's as say special. Tanner Bibee went out there and actually, which they, I don't think they'd ever let him get that far.
But we'd start.
So that's the thing. I mean, who would even be allowed to chase a no-hitter right now for the Guardians?
True. But there's also the thought that he did come around and he did score. It was a 2-0 game. It wasn't like it was 7-0. So he scored, and they made it 2-1 later on. And so, Tone, can I be mad at him for doing what he did? Can I be mad at the Reds for laying a bunt down? Dave Bell's no longer their manager. Who the hell's their interim manager? Who the hell cares? Can I get mad at the guy for laying a bunt down to break up?
By any means necessary?
Not necessarily wreck the perfect game, but can you lay the bunt down to get on base to take the lead? Or to get back in the game to cut into a lead?
Yeah, I think it's still like a salty thing to do. It's a disrespectful thing to do. I also
disrespectful.
Yeah, it's always been a disrespectful thing.
Don't you play to win the game?
To try to break up.
It's disrespectful to try to win the game?
I don't think in that sport, hasn't it always been the unwritten rule that you don't do that?
Yeah, but haven't we started breaking unwritten rules recently, especially now that we have pitch clocks and we eliminated the shift? Are we not getting rid of, even though that those rules were technically unwritten, now they're written? Haven't we thrown that out? Haven't we gotten rid of the pimping home runs? Have we not got rid of unwritten rules?
If the Reds were still in a playoff race, maybe you'd be like, okay, they're any means necessary.
Yeah, they need the game. Alive. They need to try to win.
They're not here
to try to preserve the sanctity of some of the baseball rules. With all that said, I thought it was disrespectful, but it doesn't surprise me given what had just transpired the night before. Like if ever there was a time to be disrespectful, it would be the way that the Reds feel after what happened the day before.
That is a good point. The Reds are 76-83, as Nick would say, they're booty cheeks. Okay, here is Stephen Vogt on the play in question.
Yeah, there's a perfect game on the line, but trying to win the game. It's a tough left-on-left matchup. They haven't gotten anything going all night. You know, there's going to be people all over the spectrum on whether that's okay or whether it's not. It's a good baseball play. I mean, you can't knock him for trying to get something going. And like I said, left-handed hitter trying to face Tim Herron. Got to try and find a way to get on base.
What do you think?
Well, there's no way. There's no way that Vogt wasn't like, are you serious, when it happened. I think he's playing it politically correct there.
You don't know that. Maybe he's telling the truth.
There's no way a guy like that, a baseball lifer, is okay with guys button to do that.
He's a baseball lifer, but he's also of the new generation. He's only a year older than me, right? He's 39. He's only a year older than I. And I'm saying to break up these rules. Maybe he feels differently about it, Tone.
Oh, you've
maybe
always,
he feels different.
I didn't know that. So you've always been okay with the breaking up of the no-hitter with a bunt? I didn't know that.
No. I've been through utter turmoil since I woke up. Because last night I'm staying away from social media. I don't know yet. And so when I woke up, I'm going, man, I still don't know. If it were my team, I'd be saying, you play to win the game. You play to win the game. But it happened to my team, and I am a little bit like, well, I thought that was kind of cheap. But I go, well, wait a minute. Look at it from above all. You said you play to win the game. Do you not play to win the game? I mean, it is professional sports here. It's not. There's no unwritten rule that says you can't try to win a game.
Do you think they really care that much if they win a game that way? Like the Reds, always, in their specific predicament.
They're still professionals. I mean, coach, wouldn't they like to win more than
manager,
they lose?
Their manager just got the axe. It's been abysmal. They've been swept, by the way, 11 times this year
in series.
I saw that yesterday. James Rapine had it 11 times. I think these guys are just trying to get to the finish line as quickly as humanly possible at this stage. Last week of the year, a bunch of guys playing that probably wouldn't otherwise play. I will tell you that I openly question whether or not they would have done this had they have not felt disrespect themselves by the way that the Cleveland social media team went after them over the last 24 hours. Because if ever there was, wait, you don't think that got back to them?
Oh, yeah.
I just
didn't think about it. That's why I'm laughing.
I was actually wondering if that was going to cause a brawl at some point, that they feel like they had been so disrespected by the Kentucky stuff, by the fake celebration, the Ohio Cup. Like, you know how these guys are. They just ask Kevin Durant how much they take social media aspects
so
seriously.
Can you get in trouble if, like, all of a sudden there's a brawl on the field and then they ask later on, they're like, well, I saw on their social media they said we were in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Which probably some of the players do live across the river, I'd imagine. You'd have to think that some of them would live in Kentucky.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know where those guys live. I don't know enough about Cincinnati.
What are the tax implications between the two?
Don't even get me started.
Let's go.
Don't even get me started. I mean, we are a red state, but people say that, well, you guys pay kind of high taxes. They are technically a red state, but they have a Democratic governor. So I'm sure the tax codes are all over the place. Major League Baseball and the NFL have to hate what's going on there.
We will break that down next segment.
We will do full tax code in about last night. I can tell you that. It would be nuts if that... I don't think that was the reason. Do you think that was the reason they laid a bunt down to wreck a combined perfect game? I think they were just trying to get the game.
I was trying to think. Well, if anything, I just think the Reds players just want the season to end as soon as possible. So I don't think they're trying to prolong any games.
Well, you know, before Anthony said that, I thought there's no way in hell it's that. But now that he says it, I think we run with it.
At least
till 7 o'clock.
No. Yeah. I can't. Because then it... I got fooled by the AI, and I don't want it to sound like I'm being petty with being fooled with the AI. I don't think that they were thinking they were wearing Cincinnati and Kentucky and celebrating the Ohio Cup on social media that some 20-something person who's running their social media decided to do it. I don't think that they were mad at the other Guardians for doing that.
In general, like the Guardians, they do their fair share of trash talk.
Yes, they do.
I think overall this has been a very unpleasant stay in Cleveland for the Reds over the last few days.
Yes.
And their season has been one of yet another dumpster fire going nowhere fast.
True.
What's the one disrespectful thing you could do to try to get your revenge? Lay a bunt down to ruin what could be history.
Could always throw at somebody. Yeah. Would you get more out of throwing at somebody, or would you get more out of laying a bunt down to wreck a combined perfect game? Russ in Euclid, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Russ.
Okay, so if you're not winning titles and you're not winning games, which the Reds are clearly not, man, the last thing you want is for somebody to no-hit you or throw a perfecto against you. You lay down that bunt, period. Now, if you're up 9-0 in the top of the ninth, you start laying down bunts, then you deserve to have a ball in your backside on the inside fastball. But you lay down that bunt. You do not want to be no-hit, period.
I don't even think it's just – I think it was 2-0, and they saw a way to get back into the baseball game.
But I'm telling you, you don't want to walk out with zeros.
Yeah, but what's the best, Russ? Yeah, I would ask this.
I can agree with two.
What's the better chance of getting a hit? Is it really the bunt? Bunt seems like a very low percentage play.
If you got a guy that could get fast, can get out of the box and be fast out there to first base, I think it's decently high percentage
play. Don't we say that that's what's kind of lost on this year of baseball players, that ability to kind of lay one down? That used to be something taught at every level. Now, I mean, who's teaching that to that extent?
Professional baseball players can lay down bunts, I would imagine.
I don't know. No, that's one of the things I always hear when I hear, like, Rick Manning talking baseball or somebody like Steve Stone. They're like, oh, it's a lost art. These guys can't do it.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures, and you go for the 26-foot hit if you can.
Russ, thank you very much for the call. I think some of this stuff is Bolsheviks. I never saw – how many times you see Jim Tomey lay down a bunt? How many times did you see – how many times did Babe Ruth have to lay down a bunt? How many times did any of these guys in any bygone era have to lay down a bunt?
It's a lost start. They had Kenny Lofton to lay down their bunts for
them. It's a lost start. Exactly. You've always had guys who could bunt and who couldn't bunt. So I don't want to hear any of that. I think that's garbage. I don't care what generation it is.
I'm just impressed that Kenny's team bunt to break up the no-hitter. I didn't know that. I didn't know you had that in you.
It's not to break up the no-hitter. It's a 2-0 game.
Oh, they don't. You think they care, honestly, about
winning? Yes, they do. They don't want to be no-hit, and they also have a chance to win a baseball game. Everybody wants to win no matter what the
situation
is. But
again, the no-hit thing, I'm not entirely convinced that a bunt is going to be a higher percentage play to break up a no-hitter than swinging away. If you were to look at the percentage of bunts that you're able to lay down for an actual hit and the success rate, that's got to be lower than any of these players going up against actual pitching.
He cut the lead in half. He got around and scored. They manufactured a run. God, I hate that term. But they manufactured a run. The bunt worked. So he saw a chance to get back into the baseball game, even though you're not out of it at 2-0, and you cut it in half. It wasn't his fault that Jose Ramirez came up and socked one out and put the game out of reach later on. It wasn't his fault that happened. But there was an opportunity to jump back in. It did work. It was 2-1. Okay, we go to the eighth. Let's see what happens. Or the bottom, I should say. Well, let's see what happens. So I can see why they did that. I don't think you got a grasp on it. Just because you're not good and your manager just got fired doesn't mean just go out there and not try. Especially with that team. Like, there's guys, like, I could see if, like, the Yankee season went to hell. There's guys who have long contracts on that team that I'm sure have gone through the motions in years past. I don't think the Reds are in a position where they can do that. Just because of the type of players that they have, I don't think that they can do that. No, I disagree. 216-474-0092. Well, do you consider it disrespectful then? Tony's saying it's disrespectful.
It's the most disrespectful thing you can do.
Oh, I want to ask the people. Did you feel disrespected as a Guardians fan because the Reds laid down a bunt, breaking up a perfect game, even though it was a, at that time, five-pitcher perfect game?
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, we'll get to Stephen Kwan's terrific comeback moment as he was back in the lineup yesterday. First, Ken is being called out on, and somebody has the receipts,
it's
apparently.
Asinine. It's an asinine call-out.
Ken tweeted April 15, 2021, I can't really believe you think it's cool to lay down a bunt to wreck a perfect game.
No.
You did skip two parts of
you
that.
You skipped two parts of that on the air. Read it again. Read it again.
I did. Ron quote tweeted you and called you a hypocrite
I'll
and said you had tried to say
I'll
that it's not
thing.
Cool to wreck a perfect game.
I will read the whole thing. I wrote, I really can't believe you think it's cool to lay down a bunt trailing 8-0 to wreck a perfect game. It was 2-0, and the game wasn't, this game was not a one-person perfect game.
He said later in that show you did bring up the fact that you were still against it regardless of the score.
No, I didn't.
So he is calling you out.
Oftentimes,
the listeners do have a better memory than we do.
Okay, well, I'll also say if that were the case, which it's not, I'll do the old Lima Rue and say, oh, we have the benefit of new information. When did I say that? When did I tweet that back at Zach on social media there?
April 15th, 2021.
2021, before the pitch clock, before the unwritten rules were written.
And flippity-floppity.
Before Major League Baseball themselves turned on the unwritten rules. Champions Pose. Thank you very much.
Keith Britton joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How are you, Keith?
Lima, we don't live too far away from each other, and our kids are probably going to be involved in sports at some point here over the next several years together. Ooh. I don't know if you have any desire in coaching youth sport, but I am glad that I heard today's show because I am going to make sure that my kid never coached by you in youth sports because he's being taught to lose.
Well, I will never be a part of baseball because I'm not sitting out at the baseball fields for 7 hours watching kids swing and miss. That will be the absolute last sport I will be helping out coach.
I mean, according to you, it's disrespectful to give an increase.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Odds of getting it out. You just said in the last segment, you're all over the place. You said it's disrespectful, but in the same breath, you said, well, they're giving you an increased chance because how successful is the bunt?
Yeah.
So they're giving you an increased odds to get out, and you're not about that?
Answer the marble mouth of Crawford County. Answer our boss.
Wait, you're telling me that a bunt has a better chance of getting a hit than just actual swinging away and getting a hit?
I'm not telling you that. I think the guy is doing anything to put the ball in play and either trying to get a hit or causing you to make an error, and he's reading the fielder. He's seeing how far back the first baseman, third baseman are playing, the infielders in general, and I think he's reading that and saying, hey, if I get this and place it down the line or put it in a dead spot and nobody can get to it, then I can get a hit.
So I'm surprised not every batter is trying to just go up there and get a bunt to try to get a hit. If that were the case, playing your odds, which I don't think are mathematically accurate, then everybody would be doing that on every play, and we'd never have a no-hitter in the history of the game ever again.
unlike yesterday's caller, I'm just going to wait for you to finish because people can't hear me over your mic volume. So, but anyway, in the dugout, the message would be,
that was a good point, I guess, guys. Did like that.
Yeah, it was good. We're down 2-0, guys. This guy's got a chance at history. This kid's got a chance at history. Let's make some news and not try our best to win this game. That would make sense.
So the unwritten rule of baseball thing, though, Keith, I mean, has that not been – you played baseball.
Why is that an unwritten rule? I don't get it.
At a high level.
Well, has it been that way, though?
Losing a game 2-0?
Yeah, I'm with you that I'm not always a slave to the unwritten rules, but I've always been told by baseball people that it is the most disrespectful thing you can do to try to break up any of that.
It was – now, I totally disagree. Keith, I'm on your side. I totally disagree with Anthony. However, it was a major plot point in the movie For Love of the Game. When the new kid went out there to wreck the perfect game by Billy Chappell.
Yeah, let's get our feelings hurt because somebody got a hit and knocked it out. Like, come on.
I agree with you.
That's what makes it so special is that you overcome any of that stuff. Like, that you field it perfectly, that a guy makes a diving catch, usually in a no-hitter or a perfect game, somebody has to make a great defensive play at some point.
Does it matter to you, finally, Keith, does it matter to you if the score is 2-0, 8-0, 15-0?
Not really, but I think you could even make a better case when it is 2-0 because the game's in doubt. I don't care if the Reds aren't in a playoff race. These guys are trying to make a career. They're trying to show their way and prove their value to the organization and whoever the new manager is going to be. Like, this guy that laid down the blunt's not a career. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. He's trying to make a career.
What do you think, Mitch?
He's supposed to go up there and say, oh, I'll just swing away and maybe I'll strike out. That's okay.
Well, let's hear from somebody. Let's hear from someone who's been battle-tested.
Mitch was all Ohio. So.
Yeah, Mitch was all Ohio. What do you say, Mitch?
Yeah, he got his Snickers in him this morning. He should get some energy. Let's go.
It's frustrating to see the no-hitter being broken up by a bunt, but the game was competitive. It's still 2-0. You're still in a situation where you can win.
You're riding the fence, Mitch.
What do you say, Mitch?
I'm not riding the fence. I'm giving you my opinion in that it's frustrating, but hey, it's baseball. You heard Boat say it.
It's baseball.
Okay, that's an opinion.
It is.
It's baseball.
The sport of baseball. All right, thank you, Keith. We got to move on.
It was not badminton.
How about Stephen Kwan yesterday? He's back to playing the sport he loves so much.
It's baseball.
Baseball. And was it just baseball when he hit a home run in his return?
He broke up their perfect game with his home run.
Right away, too. And he didn't need a bunt to do it. He actually swung away and hit a big-time blast yesterday.
Just kind of taking a physical break along with a mental break, I think that goes a long way. Albie was making a joke. He was like, if you just want a day off, just let me know. All of that, I think that goes into it.
Yeah, so Kwan, he had sat all that time, came back, and boom, he clobbered one. Kenny, isn't it nice to see?
It is. So, it's very nice to
see. Honestly, yesterday, you know, or the last few days, we were talking about this team's legitimate chances of making a World Series run. And the first thing I said was, well, the lineup. The lineup is what matters the most. It's not the rotation in this case for this team. I think they have enough arms. I think they have a manager who knows how to utilize those arms. I think it is going to be on that lineup, and they don't have their lineup back unless they have that guy doing that. And yesterday he was 2-for-4 in his return, and he hit a home run. So I think that is a massive storyline to kind of pay attention to.
It was outstanding. Maybe just a little bit of time off is what was needed. We'll see what he does for the Astros series, how much they want him out there. Obviously, you want to get some consistent at-bats. He was hitting .201 since the All-Star break the injury. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe he was battling through some things and it was time to sit down physically. And maybe this has done him some good. Hope so, because I think he's a game changer. He's a game changer in how many runs they can put up. He's a game changer in how good that offense looks because, again, there were times when he was struggling. And Jose Ramirez would come up and hit like a solo home run. Well, those were two-run home runs before. So when you were struggling in the month of August, you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, I'm down 3-0. It's only 3-1. It would be 3-2. There is such thing as momentum. I don't care what anybody says. So when he gets himself on and you could get a Josh Naylor home run or Jose Ramirez or John Kenzie Noel, it means that much more.
Well, what does mean even more is having a pitcher that could be the best in Major League Baseball history. Did you see that yesterday? Austin Hedges said that Emmanuel Clase could be off to the best start of any pitcher in the history of the sport. Well, yesterday he ran into some trouble. And it is almost shocking to see what happened yesterday in the ninth when Clase loaded him up. And at that stage, it was Carl Willis, the pitching coach, who came out to have a conversation with him. And afterwards, Stephen Vogt said that was important.
a little amped up, commands a little off. Carl goes out, and the first thing that happens is Class A starts smiling and laughing. And that's what Carl Willis does. He's not somebody you're going to go tell how to get, you know, your pitching better. And no, go get him to relax, get him focused back on being himself. And it's exactly what Carl did, and Class A does Class A things.
And those Class A things were 1-2-3 after that.
Can I just correct myself on one thing? I said John Kenzie Noel. He usually bets two later in the order for Stephen Kwan to be on base. I wanted it to sound like maybe you would still have Josh Naylor on base and he would be knocked in. You understand what I'm saying. It just bothers me, and I don't want to get caught on. And I don't want to be That's accurate. Right. Go ahead.
Class A, 47th save of the season.
Whew, feel better.
Now, are we getting a little crazy when we talk about what Hedges said yesterday about him being one of the best?
Do you think Hedges is going... we didn't blow this one after I just put that
right,
on there.
Right, right. So the guy's been amazing. And this is what's so cool about having a closer like this is that, man, any playoff game that he comes in, I know there's just the, well, we're Cleveland fans. It's nerve-wracking because it's a playoff game. But how much better do you feel that you have a chance to shorten these games and that he's going to be out there closing it down for you? And that guy seems unhittable. He just seems unhittable. That's why it was shocking yesterday that he loaded him up to begin with yesterday.
It was, but also, you know what? We don't give it a lot of attention, and we should. I asked Andre yesterday, who might the secret weapon be? He mentioned Cade Smith out of the bullpen. You know, I make a big deal about Hunter Gaddis, and I still think rightfully so. But Cade Smith, he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Pointing that out. It'll be Andrew Walters. Questions.
Another one. That's the thing about this in general is they have so many arms that I think Vogt has earned that respect. I know he hasn't been through the gauntlet of a playoffs being the manager, but he's seen how this is done. Do you think he'll talk to Tito at all, by the way, before the postseason? Or is that something where, you know,
I wouldn't want to get in his head if I was Tito, I wouldn't want to talk to him.
Well, I don't think Tito's going to call him, but I
wouldn't pick up the phone.
I wondered if... At any point,
what if it says unknown,
he'd want.
I don't pick up unknown numbers anyway.
He'd want to lean on whatever expertise that he possibly could.
I got a text mail scam the other day. Almost fell
from
for
Tito?
It.
Tito?
No.
Boy, okay. That'd be a great
from
scam.
From someone else.
Hey, former manager of the Guardians. Wants you.
Scamming we need Ken. Your help.
Yeah.
Are you going to vote in the election?
He's like, listen, here's a set of steak knives, and if you sell that set of steak knives, and then you get another friend to sell that set of steak knives, you get 10% off of what they sell. And if they get another friend, you get an extra 5% off of what they
sell.
Builds
on itself.
Do you like to see more designed runs in the game plan? I don't mean just...
For me?
Yeah.
No. I'm not going in there to ask them for more designed runs. So.
Just knowing you're going to run with the ball from...
I'm not trying. If I don't have to run, I'm not going to run. So I'm not trying to take any hits.
It's Deshaun Watson yesterday with the media talking about the design runs. Was that part of that call you got into yesterday?
Well, that was
the college offense call?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big topic for us over the offseason, how much he needed to run. And so far this year, it seems like the thing he is absolutely doing better than anything else is running. Now, it's not necessarily designed runs. They do have RPOs in their attack. But him just kind of feeling pressure and doing his Houdini act, that's been the best part of Watson's experience this year. I don't even think it's been close. So it's got to be tantalizing for the coaching staff to say he still has these physical gifts. It's the one thing that we can hang our hats on and move in the chains.
I don't even think it's tantalizing.
Yeah, but they're not going to run a veer offense for him.
Well, that's like, never been. Yeah, that's never been something.
Because I think that's what some people are wanting, going, well, look, he's scrambling and getting away from pressure at points. Obviously not every time. He got sacked 8 times last week.
It's because they're desperate. I'm desperate, too. I'm desperate, too. I think that right now people are ready to pull out all the stops to get anything out of him, and they're not going to like this answer. I talked about it with Gerard last night on the preview show, and I think he was right, and I think he's dealt with a lot of heat for saying it because fans don't want to hear it. This is their offense, and they are going to continue to pound this thing through until come hell or high water. That's all there is. I mean, I thought that they went back to some basics in week 2, I don't know what they're going to do here in week 4, but I think they're going to pound out this offense until they get it or until this ship goes down. One of the two. They are not, because they didn't have any time to work it in the preseason. So for us, like, yeah, we're in panic mode. A lot of fans are in panic mode. For them, they're like, wait a minute, we can't just dump this offense in the beginning of a season.
Right, you're only 3 weeks in.
And go back to what it was. Yeah,
I mean, that is one thing that I do try to have in the back of my mind every time we talk about how failed the offense is that this is an install, a build. Now, I know, where was that in the preseason training camp? Well, we just flat out know it just didn't happen. And I think part of it was they had a limited quarterback coming off surgery, and they didn't want to test it. I think that was always going to be part of this. I kind of predicted it. I hate to say it. Not a great I told you so, because it hasn't worked. But I do think that they didn't want to necessarily get too far ahead of where they necessarily were with his arm. His arm was, you know, did suffer, you know, a big time injury last year, and he had a big time surgery, which means a big time rehab.
Yeah.
And despite what they told us, which every step of the way was he's ahead of schedule, the people that were watching him were like, it doesn't look like he's ahead of schedule. It doesn't. Like, there's a reason he's taking all those, what did Jameis Winston call them?
Mental reps.
The mental
intentional
reps.
Intentional leadership of mental reps.
I mean, you wouldn't be doing that if you were truly ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Then they were not going to risk the season by putting him in a place where he was taxing, you know, that arm and that elbow and that shoulder.
So there was another point of contention here with a lot of people yesterday where he had said that Jordan Akins was a decoy on the fourth down. Now, we have that coming up in a moment. However, I want to hear Jordan Akins first, because when I heard this yesterday, I was just thinking, well, you know, we can be as upset as we want, but it's his word against ours, and I am not in the film room, as he says in this clip that we're going to play soon. But Jordan Akins did speak to the media on Monday. He was asked about that RPO play on fourth down.
I mean, it's RPO. You know, at the end of the day, he can give it. He can pass it. All of us was in the right positions. When it come down to that play, we just trust Deshaun to make the best play, to have the best outcome of that play. You know, like I say, that defense stunned so much, you know, and it can be confusing. You just can't put it all on Deshaun. We definitely wish we could have that play back, but at the end of the day, it is an RPO. So we can either run it or he can throw it. And next time, we'll execute it.
Pat Shurmur, I mean, Jordan Akins in the post game, or excuse me, on Monday after the game. You see, he doesn't say he's a decoy there, but he's not going to say he was a decoy, because you're not going to give anybody anything about a play that you're probably going to run again at some point. So Deshaun Watson was asked about it yesterday, and things got a little tight. He was asked about the Jordan Akins decoy play and whether or not he's seeing the field clearly.
Because other people are not in the film room, so that not everyone know exactly what the read was. That was a decoy, so that's the difference. Everyone can pause the tape and say, hey, you know, he should have thrown it here. You know, every quarterback deal with that. So if you choose one play and that's the play out of the whole game that everyone is calling, then so be it. It is what it is, you know. No one's in those film rooms. No one is making those decisions. So I go based off of what is Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski is saying. And, you know, on that decision, they made a good play. They got jammed up on the slant. That's what we did it. The previous time when we scored a touchdown, I did the same as that read, and I hit Jerry. So, I mean, did I see it wrong then? You know, so for me, it's just, you know, like I said before, it's just I go based off what Kevin and Ken is making those decisions and how they're grading me on that.
He doesn't like being questioned about this stuff.
Well, he's getting defensive.
He don't
clearly
like
he's getting defensive. Someone who's gotten defensive, you know, when you're forced to explain something that you don't necessarily, you don't want to explain, or you feel like you're being unfairly targeted. In this case, you're right. The first thing is we weren't there. We don't know. There does seem to be a little bit of difference there between him and the Akins point. I'll just say this, Kenny, because I will never...
Seems to be a lot of difference.
Well, there, I will never pretend to be an X's nose guy, so I just simply ask people questions. So I sent out three different messages to people that I trust that have been at various levels of football. One that coached it in college, one that scouts in the NFL, and I've got somebody else who, if I told you who it was, you'd be like, all right, yeah, I think that person knows football. I don't think anybody would question listening right now. All three of them were
you
like...
You never tell me who these people are either.
No. Yeah.
I've asked.
Your
sources are protected.
Sometimes when I do this little crowdsourcing, I get all sorts of different opinions. I get an array of opinions, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to say that we don't know. In this case, all three of them got back, and they literally said either Deshaun Watson's lying or he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, all three of them. It was
lying's a high crime.
Well, because they can't believe that he would say that. They can't believe that it would be coached that way. Then they have the utmost respect for those coaches in that building. In fact, they know. Well, one of them's actually kind of been in the same circles as Kevin Stefanski. They're like, he doesn't coach it that way. There's no way. You have a quarterback.
Why would you take a receiver away?
You have a quarterback that's either confused or completely vexed.
Or one read.
Or they don't trust him. Or they just flat out, the coaching staff does not trust him to be able to go through normal progressions. And if that's the case, then we can all come back to the same point, which is this isn't going to work.
I don't feel good about that. There's another point I don't feel good about that. And it was also in his answer, which he was expanding on later on.